So anyway, we're going to talk about something that's totally not video game related. Also, I have a slamming head cold. Of all the years I've been going to cons, the only two times I've ever gotten sick were once previous at DEF CON. I went to like a Vietnamese place, and apparently it tried to kill me. And I spent the entire weekend at the Alexis Park on bed, which is not, say what you will about the rib, but being the AP in bed all weekend really sucked. And now I have a head cold. So this is Logan. He will be assisting.
Howdy.
Howdy, as needed. And maybe we'll be dragging other people on stage here, too. This may turn into a giant dance of random people. First of all, that really is the title of the talk, not a statement about what we needed to do to the title. So people asked, because they're like, it looks like they screwed up your title and they didn't have the final one in there. I'm like, no, really, that's the fucking title. Apparently it's the worst title ever, and I assume nobody was actually going to be here for this talk, so I think you're all in the wrong room. You're probably looking for the Android talk. I think it's in track one. Oh, that's Goons in the hallway talking. Do they leave the doors open the entire time now? Yep. Wow, that's awesome. How lucky for you in the back. If you want to have a separate conversation in the back of the room, you are welcome to do it, because we won't hear you up here. Also, just to be clear, Logan, when he joined the Shmoo Group, did not choose his handle. He refused to come up with a name for himself, so we chose one for him. Just to be clear, it's pronounced Lolo, but it's actually L0L0, because it's really difficult to tell on screen, so if you want to send him an email, that's how you get a hold of him.
That's why it's always a good idea to pick a handle.
Yeah, you always, always, always want to pick your own handle. When they give an option, what do you want the username to be? You pick the fucking username, okay? You don't let them decide, because it will be like, you know, the worst thing imaginable. That's actually not that bad. It doesn't involve expletives or any discussion of the sexual prowess. Today is the trade deadline in, what, 50 minutes, an hour? For MLB, for like the 8 Major League Baseball fans that attend DEF CON. Not a large overlap. They're all in here, actually, it turns out. All 8 baseball fans. If someone could tell me if Adam Dunn gets traded, I am the one Nationals fan in the country. So, me, I buy. If you go to the Nationals website, it's actually personalized. Hey, Bruce, welcome back. We really appreciate if you bought a couple thousand more season tickets. Anyway. Hasn't yet, thank you. If we get like a ticker going, if you want to hack this VGA monitor and put a ticker on the bottom, like, has Adam Dunn been traded? Does this talk suck? First things first, what's the only thing you should believe?
Nothing.
Well, source code. Who said source code? Yeah, bingo. That's exactly what I was going for. Holy shit. Like, congratulations, sir. You get a gold star. Woohoo! Come on now. Woohoo! There we go. Thank you. It's really easy to get people to yell at DEF CON. So the first thing you shouldn't believe is the speakers. And usually that's my opening slide, and I'm just still going to say it verbally. Years and years and years ago, I remember coming to DEF CON, and I was really excited about the partying, and the partying was pretty good, but some of the talks kind of sucked. And even when I went to other conferences that were more expensive and a couple days before DEF CON, and I would go to those conferences, and people would get up on stage, and they would say shit like, 1 and 1 is 3, and like, reporters would then report on the fact that 1 and 1 is now 3, because some random asshole on stage said it. You're like, oh, that's amazingly stupid. So, I encourage you, when you come to DEF CON, you know, this is an industry filled with cynical people, and we get paid to be cynical, and we get paid not to believe what people are telling us and what computers tell us. So, when you walk into here and you stand in line, don't check your brain at the door, you know, continue to think. This project that we're going to show today is the results of many late nights in the last 2 weeks, proper DEF CON form, but it's really just kind of our view of the world, and if you disagree, feel free to stand up. I'll arm you with microphones if you want to be that guy and hijack it. I mean, we can play that game, because we're pretty good at doing that too, so we can hijack our own talk back. Anyway, so what do we do here? What we really felt like doing with this project was trying to dig through source code and not look at the code at all. And what we really wanted to look at was the metadata associated with the code, and primarily comments associated with the code and the commit statements. Okay? I mean, for how many people in here are software developers? Yay, how many people in here are software developers that don't suck? You all lie. We've all enraged at the end of a long night of coding, checked in something like, this is the biggest asshattery ever. Fuck you and fuck your mother. Fuck this, I'm done. Fuck, 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 fuck. Shift ZZ out. Right? We've all done it. And so, you know, there's, honestly, I've been curious about this for a long time of you know, what do other people write? Because I know that's what I write. Like, I write stuff and commit statements just to see if anyone reads them. I put things in things, it was actually in one of the Shmoo Group internal lists, like years ago I was doing a project and I put something way down in some documentation. I'm like, if anyone ever reads this, post to the list Purple Monkey Robot Chicken. And like 2 years later, someone just like posted one liner. It was like Purple Monkey Robot Chicken. I'm like, son of a bitch! Like, holy crap, you read it! How many people have done that? Like randomly, no one ever reads this. I don't know why the hell I even try. Yeah, right. So what we wanted to do is go through and look for, first of all, just amusement factor. You know, we're going to build a ginormous database and spend hundreds of hours doing this just for amusement, but also because we think there's actually security-specific information where people say things like, hey, we need to go back and fix this later because it's a big vulnerability, dot, dot, dot. You know, did that code ever get checked again? You know, did that ever get modified? I don't know. Let's go find out. And so the purpose of this project is really to provide an analytical tool to allow us to do that kind of analysis, to find where people have said things in the metadata associated with code. You know, we plan on going back and doing this, or this is a problem, and using that to do stack analysis. Because it turns out that real stack analysis is hard, and we didn't want to do anything difficult. But as we'll talk about later, it turns out TurboGears is almost as difficult as stack analysis of source code. So, but apparently no one's actually trying to use TurboGears in here. There are a bunch of stack analysis tools out there that look at source code, that do a good job. There's a bunch of different philosophies on how to look at source code, and that totally wasn't our point. You know, we weren't trying to go actually look at the code itself. We figured we're just going to let the developers tell us what's wrong. And honestly, there are a number of instances where they just outright say, hey, this is a vulnerability. And you're like, oh, thank you. Sweet. I can use grep. Also, there's some pretty seriously funny shit. So, the first thing we're going to do is have a primer on code repositories. But then I realized when I wrote the word primer on a slide, everyone would say, what the fuck's a primer? Because I always say primer. The primer is the shit that you put on the walls before you paint. Right? A primer, if you want to be like all OED about this, is actually this description of elementary issues for a given topic kind of concept. This is, hey, you don't know anything about this? Let me give you a primer. Let me give you the little bits of information you need to understand it. Okay? Probably the best example of that is Jodie Foster in Contact, which I happen to have right here. Now let's see if I can do this.
Boop. How long will it take to decode it?
It could take forever. Well, we really need a primer up.
We need to get the best decryption people we have.
She is the world's most famous linguist, so I recommend we follow her lead. Anyway, so honestly, that's just one of those, if you can't tell, I have little rants I get into for those that maybe see me talk, and the primer thing was one that kind of bugged me for a long time. And plus, Jodie Foster, like I said, Taxi Driver fans. Yeah, woohoo. What a great fucking movie that was for a wide variety of reasons. Anyway, back to the repositories. I'm going to turn it over to you in just a second.
Yeah.
So, mostly because I'm going to curl up underneath the table and take a nap. There are three major repository suites as far as we're concerned, CVS, Subversion, and Git. They're all pretty different. What's interesting is Git is really easy to use. Like, it's one of those, I equate it to the Church of Python. You know, when you use Python, like, you read the Python documentation, and, like, the python.org webpage is like, this is the best programming language ever. That's all you ever need to know. That's it. There's nothing else on the page. At least that's the way it's portrayed by people that write Python. I mean, it is a hell of a language. I didn't believe it for years. And then the first time I wrote something in Python, I kind of squatted over the toilet and popped out some Python. I was like, oh, hey, it worked. Cool. Even there's database integration in there. And Git was kind of the same way. Like, I mean, I'm a really bad developer. I think the actual pinnacle of my development patheticness was we were writing some code for one of the Shmoo projects we were doing years ago, and I sent it to another Shmoo, and I'm like, man, I keep having these weird error conditions where sometimes it just doesn't work. Like, it just kind of cores and flakes out. I really don't know what's going on. And the guy writes me back and says, you know, you declared a function inside a conditional. So sometimes the function just didn't exist. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't do that. So I dropped out of college when I was a CS major. Took data structures and algorithms 3 times. I shit you not, failed all three times. Subversion and CVS is about like rocket science to me, so I was really happy that we could use something like Git, because you can just Git clone and you get the entire frickin' repository, like since the dawn of time, and then Git log and get all the logs associated with all the commit statements. Really easy. So we focused on those. If you believe there to be others, like there's probably some RCS people still left in the room. Oh, big gray beard on them, they got stuff in them. You're welcome to debate the finer points of code repositories, but we focused on the ones that we were comfortable with. And really, just to be clear, because I really wanted to do some PowerPoint graphics, you have Python and Git, and they are the awesome. What are those on top? Crowns, thank you, I'm glad. I worked on that on the airplane flying here, and people were looking at me, like they're walking by, like, that guy's making porn, I think. Like 8-bit porn. The next slide, they start going at it, but I won't show you that. Here, I'm going to turn it over to Logan now. You want to chat?
Yeah.
Yay! I can sit down.
All right.
Take the mic. There you go.
I think you gave this to me earlier. Whatever.
You don't want to hold the mic?
No.
No, just hands in your pockets.
Hands in my pockets.
All right, we're on.
That's the way I roll.
I'm going to be a complete jerk to him, so if you want to help out, just say stuff.
All right, so that slide is mostly true. Actually, we only crawled GitHub. Yeah, pretty much it. Primarily, the languages we saw were Python, Ruby, and C and C++. A little bit of Perl.
So just to be clear, when you submit a talk to a conference, most conferences, they require the slides in advance for some reason. I think it's more actually to hold people accountable to actually determine that they've actually done some work. They claim it's to burn it to the CD, but has anyone looked at the DEF CON CD yet?
Yeah!
Really? Is your box owned? No, not that you know of. But we had to make these forward-looking statements a month ago about what we had done, quote-unquote. It was really more what we thought we would do. And so we put in things like, oh, we're going to go get all of GitHub and SourceForge and then any other repository we can find. And as Logan pointed out, we focused on GitHub because we were lazy.
All right, so the name of the app that we put together is called CodeGleam. Bruce had some jokes lined up for that. I'm not sure.
I didn't actually. The first thing he had was Source Scrape, which sounded like a disease that you needed penicillin for, and CodeGleam was a moderate step up. So I give it 2 stars. You can dance to it, but the beat's a little off.
All right, so it's still a prototype, alpha, beta, whatever you want to call it, but it's not ready for production. Mostly used in-house by us to do analysis. There are 5 parts of it. Like Bruce said, Python is great, so we use Python. The first part is the crawler. That is basically just their piece that goes out and will crawl GitHub right now on and look for repos that we tell it to look for and pull that down. It does support Subversion, but other pieces of CodeGleam don't support Subversion, so we didn't actually crawl any of those yet. Once the crawler's done, it pushes off a task to the file store. File store essentially stores the repository on disk. So this is semi-complicated because, as it turns out, OSs don't like large directory structures that are flat. It makes functions like stat really, really, really slow. So what we did to counteract that, and based on some input from some other people, and as I found out later, this is actually how Git stores this data too. We hash each file in the repository, and then store a create a directory structure based on that hash, and store the actual file at the bottom of that hash, and create a symlink pointing to that file. So it essentially creates a nice tree structure that the OS actually can handle in large amounts with large amounts of files. All right, and then the parser comes in. The parser basically, its entire function is to parse the code for comments and commit statements. The whole goal of this, right? To do this, we created essentially a base parser that is capable of, that uses a library called PyVCS. PyVCS is a nice little library module, or Python module that will abstract interfaces to certain Subversion repositories like Git, Subversion, Mercurial, and Bazaar. Hey, look, there's other
ones. Yeah. I've never heard of the other two. Like, holy shit. You made those up.
Maybe.
Anyone use Bizarre? Yeah. Anyone use Mercurial? Anyone know Mercurial? The guy on Twitter? Sorry. Jokes are really slow today, guys. I mean, like, I got snot running out of my nose. It's not pretty up here. No one even laughed at that. See, that's how bad it is. It's right. Just gross, really.
So what's...
Thank you. Hey, someone imported one. Where was that from, sir? Well, not you yourself. You yourself. I know who you are. All right. Anyone else bring anything to throw? You can just get it out of the way now. Nope. Anyone know why he threw that? Well, all right. Hey, if you don't know what a shmooball is or aren't familiar with the physical manifestation of the bullshit flag. And who's going to have the bullshit flags, by the way? Have people seen those?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are those coming from? Can you understand that?
What's that?
What'd they say?
No idea.
Feds.
Feds.
The feds. The feds are supplying the bullshit flags? That seems a little strange. That's how feds are being tagged this year? With little bullshit flags? You need to explain this! I'm asking a question! This is not helpful! What? They have a surplus of bullshit. So who's giving them the bullshit flags? I'm trying to find out the source of the bullshit flag, not the source of the bullshit itself. You just keep using pronouns. All right, we're done. I don't even care. It's the feds were calling bullshit and putting bullshits on themselves. Oh, my God. All right, we're done. Go ahead.
Mystery solved. Yeah. All right. So after the parse is done, it basically shoves all that data that it just parsed into a database. Pretty standard MySQL database, right? These are the tables that we use for this.
Fairly normalized is a really technical term, unlike, yeah. Like, say, third normal order, which is really loose and you don't really understand it for the database weenies.
I didn't want to say it was actually in third normal form because you would have... tried to call me out on that.
Yeah, well, I would have tried to call you out. Like, made you prove it with, like, diagrams, yeah. Which would have gotten ugly.
All right. And from there, we built the TurboGears front end on it. This was the source of many long nights of coding. TurboGears is supposed to be easy, but when you start adding Ajax and you try and do things with jQuery, it's like trying to solve a mystery as to how that thing works. But in the end, it came out really well, and pretty happy with it.
Well, he is now. When he wasn't sleeping, he wasn't happy. Like, just, he was a little grumpy for a few days because of like going to bed at 4:30 in the morning and getting up at 7 to go to work.
So. Yeah, there was one phone call in particular that probably shouldn't have had. And from here on out, you know, as we develop this more, we want to add just essentially code to just tie this all together very well. So. And more repos, of course. All right,
sweet. So the end result of all that is a website that you can't get to right now. that is proper DEF CON form. Just in case you're wondering if you're going to submit a talk to DEF CON, the proper form is, well, we did the work, here's most of the results, but we still have to finish it up, so it's not ready yet, you can't download it. Or you just get up really drunk and rant and have some woman in like a bikini next to you and no one pays attention, apparently. So, parse off flat flyers, commits, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we went for dirty words, first of all, because we're like little kids and you want to see how often people say fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. First, before we get on to that, actually, moving on to more sophisticated grammatical analysis where we use things that have spaces in it.
Regex,
yeah. So we actually do have some regex stuff implemented, and you'll be able to use once we get it online. Mostly that's what we're worried about right now, because we don't want y'all poning our server. We start asking people, oh, enter regex, and we're going to go throw it into MySQL database and hope for the best. We already had some instances where people in the commit statements, and I will challenge you, I will just put this challenge out there. The commit statements then, when they get returned to the screen, will get not really escaped properly, and so there was actually like markup language inside the commit statement, so I was reading one and there was a text input box right in the middle of the screen. I was like, huh, that doesn't bode well. So, just to be clear, once we do light this critter up, I would challenge you, if you know what things we're tracking, try to get yourself onto that task, onto that project, then put in a malicious commit statement just to see if we get owned. Like, this is a whole new attack vector, owning assholes by commit statements. So, we were going to do a demo, but the inner tubes suck, so instead we're just going to show you, it is a web page, there's a browser, it's called Safari, and we took a picture, and it's not Photoshopped, I swear to God. Before we get to this, can anyone tell me the seven dirty words? Everyone's just mumbling. It's like Tourette's now. Fuck, 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 fuck. There's a shit in there. Motherfucker and fucker, or motherfucker and fuck were separate words in George Carlin's Seven Dirty Words, which, as a purist, you think, that's just a derivative, right? Like, you just, you know, you derive the first order, like, of motherfucker, and you get fuck, and you derive it again, and it's null, and all right. Calculus humor for someone that hasn't taken calculus in 12 years. It probably wasn't even using it. He's like, it's an integral, you jackass! You did it backwards! Anyway, so we took the seven dirty words, and we made a histogram out of it in numbers, not Excel. Woohoo! Steve Jobs forever! Woo! It turns out that out of 36 frickin' repositories that we grabbed, including things like TCP dump and Apache, people only said fuck in the comments 15 times. Boo is right, people. Like, if you're part of an open source project, please swear more, because this got really boring. Like, we ran the results and we're like, ah, crap. We're gonna have to put some in just to make it exciting. And the lower order ones, the ones at the bottom, like tits, motherfucker, those never even made the list, man. There's a lot of comments, not once. And I might think, honestly, like, if you're swearing and you're angry, typing motherfucker is a lot of work, because you're gonna typo it two or three times, and eventually you're like, screw it, fuck, there, we're done. Look at that, I derived motherfucker. Yeah, open source hackers and pussies, exactly. So here now we look for, we created our own slightly more generic dirty words. I'm willing to say hell a bit more, but this is still a fantastically small number of swear words. People giggling at the last one, for the ones that get that. No one had committed that either, so as long as you're going after trying to pwn us through commit statements and comments, you might as well go and drop some Liget bombs in there too. Liget bomb, that's right, I said it. In commits, we got a little more aggressive. We said fuck a little bit more. Still not, like, at least in every project, but, you know, four or five times more, shit came out a lot more. And then the other ones, hell. What the hell is this? Hell, 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 hell. It's like a Bart Simpsons episode. Hell, 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 hell. You all seen that clip when, you know, how the hell can I say talk about hell without saying hell? Yeah, it's like Simpsons season 2. You gotta be kind of old and gray hair and shit to remember that. Anyway, it's still not that interesting. So we started to look at code quality comments. How often did people say, this code sucks, or this is quite a hack? Well, on average, at least once per every project someone said hack. Some of them had it a lot. It was like, hack, 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 hack. And stupid, and blah, and bork, and suck. These are areas that we started to focus on. When people actually said, this is a hack, hey, guess what? We're going to go look at that. Commit statements, people became even more, I guess, pointed. Hack wasn't used as much as stupid. Which I think is a little more aggressive terminology. People started to call things stupid and commit statements. And really, and we went back and we read a lot of the results here, and what we found is developers are more likely to make emotional comments in the commit statements, presumably because they assume commit statements don't get up, put in your, you know, .tar.gz and shipped, right? The commit statements just kind of stay in a database somewhere, and you presume no one's going to read them. And that's why we took our flashlight out and tried to, it helps if you make the noise. Big fan of making noise, because then later on it ends up on YouTube. Hey, look what this jackass did on stage. Oh. Thank you. Hey, is anyone wearing that shirt right now? Because I will punch you in the face. Trying to be polite about it. It's DEF CON. We stand in line before we punch people in faces. So there was some randomly funny stuff. All caps always is a win. So, you know, fuck you for supporting that stupid behavior. You got two of her dirty words in one sentence. I thought that was nice. Killed two birds with one stone. Somebody blaming the cold meds. The CGI IRC, which should scare you in its own right as a program. It's an IRC that's written in CGI. Poning boxes through IRC to messages, right? Go find a bug in this thing and then just type the right command in the IRC channel and watch the guy's box, you know, web server get pwned. Like, that's a fun attack vector. But he had things like nasty hack to make the angry smiley work. Then there was another hack to make another type of smiley work. Like, this guy had a problem making smileys work in an IRC program. I thought you just displayed colon, parenthesis. Is it any more complicated than that? Also, one person was kind enough to point out that moose were better than ponies. Woo! Oh, that was saying moose, not booing, right, sir? Okay, good, because if it was a boo, there was going to be a problem. We are big moose fans, as it turns out. Not so much of the ponies. Ponies are nice. Moose, they're for real people. Anyway, do you guys know why you get Outlook messages from Outlook users that have J's in them for smileys? No. Have any people noticed that behavior? It's because freaking Outlook converts the smiley to the Wingding smiley, which is the letter J in the Wingding's alphabet. And when it gets sent out, and you don't have the Wingdings loaded, the Wingdings, like the inner tubes, then you get a J, because that apparently is that character that they used. So, it's really annoying. Unicode, bane of my existence. Again, the guy that flunked out of computer science. Holy shit. All right, so, people are angrily yelling drunken things. People are leaving the room. Goodbye, sir. Oh, it's the AV guy leaving the room, I think, isn't it? Yeah, hey, he's done. He's like, I'm out. This is bullshit. I broke the microphone. So we found our first result in the first 5 minutes, which was lucky, because again, when you unload Pandora's box on this, when you say, we're going to do all this stuff and do this, have this ready for DEF CON, and it's 3 days before DEF CON, we're like, huh, we don't even have a completed code yet, but I guess I'm going to start digging through the database and see if we could find anything. I was a little worried that we wouldn't find anything, so we did. What we found off the bat here was looking for the word lame, and we found this phrase that said, this is kind of lame, but only exploitable by people who could log in. How serious could that be? And what was interesting about this bug is not only did we find it in one project, we found it in 6 different projects. And what happened was, there's a bunch of Ruby developers working on these social networking projects, trying to make the next Facebook, Twitter, you know, chat roulette is my asshole kind of thing. And dude, someone was running chat roulette in a room today at 10 a.m.? Was anyone there? I saw references to it online. Someone actually had... Was there anything disturbing? Yeah. Yeah, like, that just seems like a lawsuit. Like, I mean, showing porn to a room of people like that, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get. Like, oh, I didn't know Dribbles would do that. Not appropriate, ever, let alone at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. So, anyway... So these guys are all working on these social networking projects, and what they did is they just shared the code, and it wasn't like they created a common library. Like, I mean, I flunked out of CS again, but I, you know, can see the value in libraries because you can update them, and they get updated independently of the freaking software. No, they just cut and pasted. Like, ooh, cut, paste. That looks good, including the comment that says, kind of exploitable. And so what we found was this, and even more verbose, only exploitable by people who could log in anyway, so presumably not too big of a security hole. It allowed you, as long as you had an account and you were using HTTP auth to get in, you could look at anything that anyone had protected anywhere in their social networking sites that they built with Ruby on Rails. Which, again, I mean, come on, we've seen Facebook do it, so everybody, the cool kids have to do it when they start the new projects. And, like, I can appreciate that, but it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. What we found, and this is part of the tool, is we track what versions of the pieces of software that contain the comments and contain the commit statements, or at least eventually the commit statements. Commit statements are a little bit harder to tie to specific versions at the moment, but the comments. And so we can go through and say, hey, where does this comment still exist? And a number of the projects out of the 6 that we found, a couple of them had nuked the file altogether, but there are still a few projects out there that today have this chunk of code in their live production systems. So, you know, we found a bug, we found a security vulnerability, drop an ODA at DEF CON, old school style. Kapow. Giggle. Come on, guys. You don't get to see ODA. This is really lame ODA. It's not Charlie Miller ODA, but it's ODA. Come on. Yeah, what's ODA itself? Like, that's the finer point, right? Like, is it ODA if you said it, like, hey, look, it's a security vulnerability? Like, all we did was grep, but yeah, we're calling it ODA. We're bad like that. What else did we find? So we found, so this is a, Puppet's a framework for automating sysadmin tasks. And this is, so this one's interesting because they fixed it. But again, presumably not everyone deploys the latest version. And part of the purpose here is to be able to determine specific versions of software that maybe you don't have easy access to right now, but we want to go find, are there issues with, you know, I'm at some client site and they're running an old version of Puppet. In this case, they had just migrated to REST from XML RPC. So REST is a same kind of, it's like an RPC thing, but a lot fuzzier. It's not as heavily restrained as XML RPC is. And they realized that you could just send unauthenticated REST requests and they would be obeyed. So I don't see anything wrong with a sysadmin framework that will accept unauthenticated RPC commands. You know, have control of your entire enterprise? I don't know. I mean, seems like an okay bug to me. Anyway, so again, this was patched a while ago, but we were able to dig it up pretty quickly. This next one is very special to me. I'll read it because I realize that in the back of the room, you probably can't read this, but basically this guy is talking about using a site key, which is an extra bit of information that gets hashed into this database password in order to make it so that if the person who's snagging the, broken in your box, snags your config information, also needs to go snag the database so that they can run an offline dictionary attack as opposed to just connect your database. So that it's basically, there's a secret stored somewhere else in the file system and they wouldn't have grabbed it and then they wouldn't be able to access your, quote, stupid user's passwords. And, you know, it's, and this guy, it's a hell of a comment. Like, it's a big commit statement. The guy's got lots of URLs in there. He's pointing to, like, a visual guide to cryptography to explain hashing. I mean, this is one of the most verbose and explained commit statements ever, including, needless to say, if you upload this to GitHub or the YouTubes or otherwise place it in public view, you're kind of defeat the whole point. Just to be clear, we downloaded this off of GitHub, not the YouTubes. So it did kind of defeat the whole point. Anyway, there were also some dead ends that we encountered when we were doing this. We're looking for the word security. Again, this is just basically an Uber grep at the moment. And it said the phrase add in security. And I'm like, excellent. I wonder how complicated a commit that was. Like, my eyes got really big. And admittedly, this was yesterday. We were so we're doing the actual analysis for this yesterday in our room. And it turns out that Logan doesn't have a laptop because, my fault. I haven't bought him one yet. No, Logan works for me, so. And I haven't bought him a laptop. Which kindly reminded me when I said, hey, take your laptop out so you can work. He's like, screw you, buddy. You haven't bought me one. I'm like, God, I'm a dick. So I give him my laptop and I rip out, oh, here's the douchebag thing I'm about to say. I rip out my iPad and,
One of two iPads.
One of two iPads in the room, yeah. Yeah, real. You hate me now. It's cool. I'm down with that. Anyway, I take out my iPad, and the Evno connection on the laptop's working okay, but the 3G service on the iPad is literally like about 5 minutes after the hour, it's working okay. About quarter till the hour, I can't get any data through. Start sucking. 5 minutes after the hour, works good again. Quarter till the hour, suck. So you get this 20 minutes of basically I can't do anything on the 3G service at all. I realize, oh, talks are letting out. And everyone's walking around assuming the DEFCON pose, which is... Oh, dude, ran into some dude, okay. And it kills the AT&T network here. So we were digging through, and so like I would execute a query, and I'd wait like 5 minutes for it to come back, not because my server sucks, but because AT&T network sucks. So I see this, and I have to wait for like 5 more minutes to uncover how cool this is going to be. It's three-day-old code from a project that he just started that no one uses. It's like, shit. He even said, now you have to log in, yay! I was really not happy because we really needed something to say. Anyway, so honestly, we are really at the point where we now have a functional tool. We will have the website up here in a little bit. We have GitHub announced the other day they've reached 1 million repositories in GitHub, which is a pretty long, I don't know how big SourceForge is, but I mean, between the two of them, they represent a mammoth amount of open source software, and our goal is to find a way around their terms and conditions and get them all. It turns out when you download a lot of them all at once, they cut your ass off. So,
4.5 gigs was the cutoff point.
Yeah, 4.5 gigs, 476 projects, was our first cutoff, I think.
Yeah, it was a temporary ban on the IP, and then we went back later slowly and got a couple more.
Yeah, just slow and steady, like a 70s porno, you know, you just kind of got to work your way into it. It's okay, GitHub, this won't hurt very much at the end.
Like a carrot instead of a cucumber.
Whoa! Holy wow, vegetable reference. Thank God you weren't close enough for the mic to that to be recorded. So we changed the schema a number of times. Honestly, importing the data isn't that hard right now. It takes a little time, but what we want to do in the long term is tie this directly to the repository so we can get changes as they happen. I cannot help but think that's a pun every time I say it. We want to get more data in there. We want to get more aggressive analytical capability. And honestly, we want to be able to quickly drill down and facilitate the analysis. Because right now, when we find something, I still have to go to the Git repository, look at the code manually, and see what's going on, and then go back to the search engine we wrote.
One thing I forgot to talk about when I was describing CodeGlean, it actually, we're tracking on a file diffs between versions. So at some point, we'll be able to correlate essentially what files change between each version and determine, you know, when these source comments are put in and taken out and moved around and stuff like that. So,
so really, in conclusion, this is pretty trivial analysis, but I think that there's a lot of hope here, both from a just kind of high comedic value, but also from a security perspective. As we get more and more and more projects in here, we have to hope to have more results. And honestly, we want to have more advanced analysis so people understand. I mean, there's a lot to be said about the quality of your comments and the quality of the commit statements in open source software. It speaks about the development process that people are using, how good it is. And I think it would be nice to be able to, you know, figure out how good the open source community is doing over the years. You know, are we doing a good job of documenting our code and making people understand it, or is it really just a bunch of jackasses saying fuck, 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 fuck? So we'll be up at codegleam.pontisac.com. You can follow Pontisac on Twitter. We're not trying to be Twitter whores, and just honestly, if you want an announcement, I'm not going to mail you all individually. You can just follow us, and we'll tell you when it's ready. Thanks to Brian Denny for last-minute support. Brian, are you here? Brian. There he is. Brian. Yay, thanks, Brian. This is I call Brian up at, like, 9 o'clock on Tuesday. I'm like, hey, man, what you doing? Why? We've got a big database and no website. Can you help us out? Shit. You knew we shouldn't have answered the phone. Anyway, that's all we got. I think any questions, comments? Mass exodus is plural. All right, we're done. Thanks very much. Have fun, guys.